Well, I'm standing before you tonight because Pastor DJ is on vacation. He and Tell are celebrating their wedding anniversary. I'll celebrate mine one of these months, but I'm going to take me a vacation. I'm going to shock everybody. All right. Tonight, I'm just going to share a thought with you that the Lord has been ministering to me. I meditate quite a bit day in and day out because I find that it's just so beneficial. Sometimes you can get so locked into trying to pray a prayer that you forget that it's communication with God and not just putting out a request. It is actually a communication between you and God. So turn your Bibles, if you will, to Psalms 100. Psalms 100, and let's look at verse 4. Psalms 100, verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Huh? That means you're not supposed to come to church. Now, are there times when you feel bad and you may not? Yeah, there are moments. But see, if you understand the power of thank you, that's what I'm going to talk about tonight, the power of thank you. Well, your thank you can go a long ways because your words can change how you feel. You may not feel like all that hot in your body at this moment, but your words can fix that if you would allow it. And it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Just because something is not going your way at the moment, that's not a time to give up on thanking God. Oh, Jesus. Because you don't know what he's doing behind the scene to fix what you're looking at. But your thank you will bring him on the scene. I'm telling you. Your thank you will bring him in on the scene. Look at Psalm 68:19. And I read the wrong chapter, but that's all right. We good. I read it too soon, but we can look at it again. Psalm 68. And let's look at verse 19. This is why we can be thankful, because I don't know how many of y'all really realize how much God loves us. It says, blessed be the Lord who daily, say daily, say daily. That means every day, say every day. He's loading me up with benefits. So every day you can take your ATM card and go to the machine and get benefits because he's loaded it up for you. Glory to God. The God of our salvation, Selah, you need to pause and think about that for a moment. Because every day starts off with new benefits. It's the same, but they're fresh every day. So what you didn't use yesterday, you didn't have to consider that because it's brand new today. And it's still full, it's not diminished. It's not little in power, none of that. You know how we do when we got leftover food. You know, we want to carry it over to the next day. See, God doesn't do that. Everything is brand new. And he does this daily for us. He loads us up with benefits. Somebody said, thank you, Lord, for loading me up with benefits. What are those benefits? Everything you need. Whatever you need, whatever you want, whatever his assignment is for you, that's the benefit. And we're going to learn that it's so much easier to get something out of God through a thank you than it is with a long prayer. Look at Luke 17. Let's begin reading at verse 12. Luke 17, verse 12. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10, say 10, men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. Now, he didn't lay hands on them. He didn't say, in my name be healed. None of that. He gave them an instruction. Instructions always determine your heart. When you obey or disobey instructions, you're saying, I'm not thankful for what you've done for me. Or I am thankful. He told them, go show yourself unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. So en route to the priest, the manifestation came. Because they all decided, okay, we can do that. We can go show ourselves to the priest. But only one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him what? Thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Now see, the Samaritans were kind of like outcasts. They were mixed people. So they were not genuine Jews according to Jews, and they were not genuine Gentiles because they were mixed. And we still got those, that's racism. We still got that going on today. You can be whatever and, you know, doesn't matter your color, whatever, but they want to isolate them. But that's why they isolated them, because they were mixed. They were a mixed race of people. But this one person, all it takes is one. And Jesus, look at verse 17. Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. See, he was considered a stranger, but the stranger was thankful. See, when you understand that we've been engrafted into the covenant, you should be thankful. Because as a Gentile, we were not born into the covenant. Now we are, because of what Jesus did. That's something to be thankful for. But what I recognize, the 9 that were healed did not give thanks for their healing. They had an attitude of entitlement. Entitlement can be dangerous. It's good to know you have rights and privileges. But it's not something you sit back on your laurels and expect it to work just because. So what does entitlement mean? It's the belief that one is inherently deserving of privileges or special treatment. Now, the word inherit means built in, inborn, ingrained, deep-rooted, or basic. So a person can have built in them because they knew they were the seed of Abraham. And I'm sure in their life they've been taught all their life that you're the seed of Abraham, you're supposed to be blessed, and this and this and that. But when Jesus came along and began to heal people, they had never seen healing like this. You got to understand that. What Jesus did was almost like something new on the scene. But inside of them, they were not thankful because they felt like they were entitled to it. That's why people don't say thank you. When you should be saying thank you. According to 1 Thessalonians, let's look at that. I'm giving you a little armor here. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let's look at verse 18. Because thankfulness is actually a sign of spiritual maturity. When you find people that can't be thankful, they don't grow because they're takers. Look at verse 18. In everything, say in everything. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. He didn't say thank him for the problem, but in it, always give thanks. That's a sign of spiritual maturity. When you can find that place of thankfulness, even in your heart place. Babies always cry. Mature people become thankful. Because you got a way of escape. So thankfulness is God's will. We're supposed to be thankful. And it's a sign of spiritual maturity. You ought to be able to look at your situation and say, okay, it's not looking the way. I'm going to take my eyes off of it. And I'm going to be thankful for what God has done. See, when you read Apostle Paul's writings, he never prayed for people's problems to go away. When you study all his writing, he never prayed for a problem to go away. What he did pray is that whatever they were dealing with, whatever they had to bear, that they endured it with a good attitude. Because that'll get you out of your mess faster than complaining. Look at Colossians. Yeah, because see, that's the mistake a lot of Christians have made in this last few months in our nation. We're complaining about stuff that we should be thankful about. Okay, the gas price went up. Can you still get gas? Okay. Do you have enough to go buy you a few gallons if you can't fill your tank up? Thank God you can get where you need to go. That when you go to the pump, there is ample supply for you. Hallelujah. Are you there? Colossians 1, look at verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. He said, we pray always for you. Why? Because since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints, he says, I'm thankful for, he says, in my prayer time, I'm thankful for you. He says, I pray for you, but I'm thankful that you are not the kind of Christian that whine and we can't get things done because you're always belly aching about something not being the way you think it ought to be. This is why most churches have problems, because somebody feel like they ought to be entitled to something instead of being thankful. Look at verse 12, go down. Giving thanks unto the Father which have made us meet or fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Man, verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Man, if you can't think of nothing else, you ought to be thankful for that, that you are not a sinner. See, I don't care what I'm looking at. I find a reason to be thankful. Hallelujah. I find a reason to be thankful. And when you begin to practice that, the more it becomes a part of your lifestyle, things in your own atmosphere begin to change. Just turn over to chapter 2, verse 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus, have you received Christ Jesus? So walk ye in him. Rooted, that means grounded, and built up in him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with what? Thanksgiving. Apostle Paul was actually known as the apostle of thanksgiving by a lot of Bible scholars. They deemed him to be the apostle of thanksgiving. And you'll see that all through his writings, he's reminding us to be thankful. He understood the value of thank you. There's great power in thank you. Nobody likes to do something, and not because you're trying to be seen or recognized for what you did, but it's very unsettling when you help somebody and they won't even say thank you. Now, can you imagine what it does to the Father God and to Jesus when he died for us and we don't even say thank you on a regular basis? Thank you for redeeming me. Every day I remind him, I say, thank you, Lord, for redeeming my life. I thank you, Lord, that you brought me out of hell. I thank you, Lord. See, your situation is not as bad as it is. It looks that way because you won't create an atmosphere of thankfulness. Look at Acts chapter 9. I think that's where I want to go. I'm just giving you some weaponry that you can work with. So when you go home, you have something to go back and say to yourself, I'm thankful, Lord. Acts chapter 9, verse 3, because I'm not going to be up here very long, because I'm thankful that I got somewhere to go, that I got a place. You know, as much as I dislike some of the things that happen here, but I'm thankful that we got a room that we can meet. because I know things are going to get better. And as we believe together, it's going to change. Amen. Verse 3. Yeah, Acts chapter 9, verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shone round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. It's hard. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now, Apostle Paul, now he wasn't Apostle Paul at the time, he was still Saul. But can you imagine him complaining, talking about, after the initial impact, then he starts saying, I'm not going nowhere. Why I got to travel? You'd have never heard of Apostle Paul. Just think of all the small issues that we complain about in a 24-hour time span. I'm gonna give you a few, like no toilet paper on the road, and it's more than one of y'all in the house, and you say, well, why you didn't put no toilet paper on the road? I know it. What about this one? Who ate the last slice of bread? Mm-hmm. Why do I always have to pick up behind you? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. These are small things seemingly, but you're creating an atmosphere of complaining in your home. And complaining creates an atmosphere of anxiety. The more you complain, peace leaves your house. Mm. And if you live in anxiety long enough, you become overwhelmed. But it started with your complaining. Mm. And being overwhelmed stems from your thinking you are entitled to something different than what you have right now. Instead of being thankful for what you got right now. And it's nothing wrong with believing God for more, but you should be thankful for what you got right now. Ooh, Jesus. You see how that snowball effect, when you start complaining, it creates a negative atmosphere in your home. And when it's time to go to sleep, you're rustling and turning and you can't hardly sleep because all during the day you've been complaining. The house has no peace in it. It's hard to go to sleep when your house is full of complaining. Ooh, Jesus. You should expect for more, but not be unhappy because of where you are now. I can remember that when we lived in our first apartment, you know, we didn't have but a few rooms because, you know, apartments is not designed to make you stay there forever. Not if you, you know, understand the principle. They don't mind taking your rent, but unless you just don't have no vision, you don't want to live in an apartment for the rest of your life. In our first apartment, you had two bedrooms upstairs in the bathroom, and downstairs you had the front room in the kitchen and a pantry. I could have complained, but that wouldn't have changed. You know what I did? I began to decorate, and thank God I had some place I could decorate. And it was just a matter of a year, and we were out. See, thankfulness is powerful. It is extremely powerful. Now listen to this. It is not happy people who are thankful, but it is thankful people who are happy. Thankfulness create inside of you endorphins, make your endorphins go, make you feel better. It broadens your expectation, causes you to have insight and wisdom just because you're thankful. Answers can come into your environment just because you're thankful. Because your words are a container for building up or tearing down. Proverbs 31 talks about that, especially the female. Now, men do it, but women are notorious for it. We'll tear down our own stuff by complaining. I know I'm teaching better than y'all shouting, but that's okay. That means it's working. See, you decide what words you say and do. You decide what words are going to impact your environment. And it should be words of thankfulness. Instead of saying, I got all this stuff to do, and I got to do it all by myself. Ain't nobody here to help me get this done. Well, didn't you know that when you started that project? So why I complain about it now? Because in your thankfulness, God might send you some help. Woo, Jesus. Okay, here's another nugget for you. Get your mind off of yourself. Keeping your mind on just you opens the door to self-pity. Pity makes you see only what you are missing and how much more you deserve. It never lets you be thankful for where you are. So when you decide to have your pity party, remember, you are opening a door to pity. And it's not a pretty spirit. What we should be paying attention to is all that God has done for us and how we read the scripture. He loads us up daily with benefits and all that others, say others, do to help us. If somebody come along or a brother or sister or even a stranger, coming, just like I went into a facility today and you know, the lady that was doing the machine, and I didn't quite understand it, and she said, let me help you. Now, I'm caught between two people, the one on my left and the one on the right. The one on the left, they about the same age. Both of them young, look like they're early 20s. But the one on the left, she just left her eyes, act like, you know, okay. The one on the right says, I'll help you. She said, it's easy, just press this right here, and then you can go back to the... Boom, once I saw that, because sometimes you go in these facilities, there's nobody there to tell you what to do. Somebody that's already done it can help you. But if you're not a thankful person, I turned and I said, thank you so much for helping me. I would have missed that had you not showed me that. And I'd have been standing there trying to figure it out and waiting on somebody else to come help me. She said, I was delighted to do it. See, she must be a thankful person. And then she began to tell me, I'm a nurse. And I love helping people. Okay, do you see what happened? Because I said thank you. So you got to get your mind off yourself. Because your mind on yourself makes you feel pitiful all the time. It's not designed for you to think about yourself 24/7. Because all it does is show you what you're missing and what you think you deserve. And I mean, you know, especially when you've had a disagreement with your spouse, you had to be careful and thinking about yourself. Sometimes when Dr. Davis would correct me, it would hurt, not because he was wrong, but because he was right. And we don't always like to be corrected. Our flesh don't like it, but you train your flesh to like correction. That's a sign of maturity. When you can receive correction and not be offended. And I would go off and pout somewhere in the beginning, and I ain't halfway want to deal with him and stuff like that. And he bust out laughing at me. He said, girl, if you could, he says, I'm gonna take a picture of you. And I said, you ain't gonna do nothing. I'm gonna get back at myself being more dumber than I was before. Cause now I'm trying to get back for myself in a situation that didn't even call for that. And he would just sit there and laugh at me up to the place that it would irritate me so bad. But I didn't understand. He was just trying to tell me, he was trying to help me to grow up. But when I finally got it, then I could take it. And sometimes it still hurt, but I didn't get bruised and abandoned and go get in the corner with a self-pity party and think about, I deserve, you shouldn't say that to me because that don't sound right. Just because it don't sound right don't mean it's not right. If you're not doing, listen, if you're doing something wrong and you're getting wrong results and somebody come along and say, this is the way you do it right, now what were you going to get offended? But that's what most people do. Because they have predetermined that the way they want it done is the only way it can be done. And instead of learning, they get offended. Even if somebody don't like you, if what they say is going to help you, y'all got to learn this, because I just had to deal with a situation when it came to my nail technician. I had to tell her, you're supposed to be a professional. You don't get offended with the client. If anything, you're supposed to straighten that out. You're in a business with people. They're going to come in with an attitude one day. You can't come and get a chip on your shoulder. You're going to lose business. You got to hear this, because sometimes you're going to have to take some stuff off of clients. I ain't taking that stuff off of nobody. They ain't going to say that. Blah, blah, blah. I'm telling you right now, you're going to lose business. Because everybody you deal with not going to be a Christian. And everybody not going to say nice things to you. But they might say something to make you better in your business if you listen. And become thankful. So what we should be doing is paying attention to all that God has done for us daily and all that others do to help us. So being self-centered and happy at the same time is impossible. Say impossible. You cannot be self-centered and happy. Because you're being selfish and you're not going to be happy. Nobody can make you happy when you're self-centered. Nothing satisfies you. You grab for this and it looked like it working for the moment, but you're not really, you're going to find fault with that because you're self-centered. There's something wrong with that. It only lasts a few moments. And then you need something else and you need something else because you're self-centered. It's all about you. It's all about you. And you don't consider what the person you're asking to be that to you has to do to accommodate you, because you don't care, because you're self-centered. You don't care what inconvenience it may create for somebody else. I know it's not one of them up and down, jumping, clapping, hallelujah sermons, but this is what we need because we're growing this year. Amen. So you can't be self-centered and happy at the same time. It's impossible. I was listening to an older healing school video with Gloria Copeland, and she was teaching, and she said that if you keep your mind on you all the time, no wonder you are depressed. And I said, ain't that the truth? You're going to be depressed thinking about you all the time. When you get somebody else on your mind and begin to pray for people to come into the kingdom, when you begin to believe God for the deliverance in somebody else's family, man, you're going to be amazed at how you get joy and peace in your house. Look at Philippians 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. That's the key. Look not on every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Woo. Woo. Now that's a whole mouthful there that we need to take in, that we need to consider others and be thankful that we got good people in our lives. Be thankful that you got a car to drive. And it's not a hootie. Thank God that it gets you where you need to go. Thank God that you got AC in the summer and heat in the winter. Thank God. Begin to go back and thank God. If you make a list of all the things that you got that you can be thankful for, it'll erase the complaining out of your house. Thank God I got a husband that'll get up and go to work. Because in our society, they're trying to strip man of all his malehood and make the woman over the man. Now they got a commercial say, I can do anything you can do. The man cutting the grass. I can do it better than you. And I'm going to click. Keeping a war and a competition between the wife and the husband. Y'all better not listen to that crazy stuff. You ought to be thankful that you got a husband or you got a wife. I tell people all the time, if you didn't like him or her, why did you marry them? Because something nutty about you. You marry somebody, then all you do is complain about them. It's something deficient in you. Because all of a sudden, they ain't good enough for you. It's something wrong with you. Because you should have never married anybody that you don't like. Now, that tells us a whole lot about you. And not necessarily the person that you're trying to make it seem like they so little. Because I'm going like, this is stupid. All right. Let's look at, I think I want to go to 2 Corinthians. Let me make sure. 2 Corinthians. I think that's where I want to go. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to close in just a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. See, a lot of that old stuff haven't fallen around off you because of teaching on Sunday, because your mind not renewed to who you really are. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, all things are of God. See, everything that you have to deal with now as a believer, you have to draw from the word of God because that's where it's coming from. It's not coming from the world's viewpoint. It's not coming from Oprah or Steve Harvey or anybody else of that type. You can't listen to that. It's a lot of celebrities rising up and saying they're Christian, letting them weigh that stuff out. Weigh it out before you start following their tune. Let them prove that. Before we start, he says, but why? Because old things, and I'm not saying they're not born again, because they might be born again, and I'm happy for them. But if they are, we're going to see some signs after a while. Amen? Because old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So a lot of this attitude problems we have, we just need to go ahead and adjust our attitude. It's because we don't know the word. That's all it is. That's the real crust of everything. We don't know the word. So the less I know about me, the less I'm going to God be able to use me, but the greater opportunity the devil have to work through me because I don't understand this. And I mean, thankfulness is everything. The last scripture I think I'm going to give you, I think this is the last one. Let me make sure that's the one I want to go to. Let me look at it first before I tell you to turn to it. And then I give you one more after that. Let me see. Yeah, Galatians 2:20. Because we're not living unto ourselves anymore. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. It says, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see how the Bible talked about how Jesus, he endured suffering even until the point of death because he knew that God wanted us back. And he had to be thankful for the opportunity, because he knew God was going to get him out. One translation says, my old identity has been co-crucified with Christ and no longer lives. For the nails of his cross crucified me with him. And now the essence of this new life is no longer mine. For the anointed one lives his life through me. Now, if Jesus could be thankful, you got to be thankful. Woo. We live in union as one. Life is empowered by the faith of the Son of God, who loves me so much that he gave himself for me and dispenses his life into mine. That is so much to be thankful for. Last scripture for the evening. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. First Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. Are you there? Say, I'm there. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Woo, glory, 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 glory. So in other words, godliness with thankfulness is great gain. Because I'm thankful. Look at verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we'll carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Let us be thankful. Woo. Because when we leave this world, all that's going to be left of you are the life you live. Because the things that you enjoyed or whatever, that you slaved over, whatever, they're going to be gone. Somebody else will have them. Somebody else will use them. I'd rather leave behind a life of faith and a legacy of love and thankfulness. Because now my life continues to live through somebody else instead of just leaving things. Because things will decay. But living a life of thankfulness, you're going to impact somebody else's life. You'll impact somebody else's life. Amen? Did you learn anything tonight? Come on, stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, we're so thankful, Lord. We give you all the praise and the glory and the honor for who you are, Lord, and for being our Lord and our Savior, for being our King, for being our Deliverer, for being our food, for being our help, for being our health, for being our prosperity, for everything that we need. That's who you are. And we are thankful this evening that we can come with confidence into your presence, that we can stand before God Almighty. And you told us to come boldly before your throne, so we can boldly come into your presence and we can make our requests known. But Lord, then we're going to walk away thanking you, because we know you heard us and you answered us according to 1 John 5 and 15. You heard us, and according to that word, that we have the petition that we desired of you, because we are thankful. We are thankful this evening. We are thankful for the things you've done in our lives. And we are thankful for the people that you placed in our lives to help us grow up, to help us overcome. We thank you, Lord, for every friend, every member of our family. We thank you, Lord, for people that causes us, even the ones that it was determined to do something to hurt us. We thank you, Lord, because we learned something. We learned something from them bad situations. We learn to turn our attention to you and be thankful that we got a Savior that loves us and understands us, and you come to our aid speedily. We are thankful that we are never alone. You are with us no matter where we are and what we're dealing with. You are with us. Because that's your promise. You said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. So we have everything to be thankful for. And we do that, Lord, because we love you and we are truly thankful. And receive our offering of praise and thanksgiving this evening. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, we expect environments to change just because we're going to change our words and we're going to become thankful for everything that we have. And it may not be all that we deserve, but we're thankful for what we have. Because you said, godliness with contentment is great gain. So we do that, Lord, and we thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Remember, the will of God for you still is what? In earth as it is in heaven. God bless you. We see you on Sunday.